and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, to the age of all ages. Amen. Okay, let's review what we talked about in the first session. What did we talk about in the first session? The Samaritan woman. No? Okay, we didn't. Okay, sorry, my bad. So what did we talk about in the first session? Communication. We talked about the definition, for communication. We said, what is communication? I heard the conversation, Yanisha. Okay. Anyways, what is communication? An exchange of knowledge.
Expression.
Very good. Thank you. Expression of one's feelings, thoughts, ideas, viewpoints, and so on, with the hope that what I'm expressing gets actually understood in the same way that they intend for it to be understood. So there is always, and I'll show you a model now of communication that has a sender and a receiver. And we said most of the communications that we've witnessed, most of them are monologues in the presence of a witness. And two monologues doesn't make a dialogue. Two monologues don't make a dialogue. We said something else about communication. The triangle. Thank you. And you had something to share about the triangle. So do you wanna share that?
Okay. Based on what Abuna said yesterday, I would like to add just a small info. If we remember the triangle for communication,
what are the three three corners of the triangle?
Desire. Attitude and
skills. So all of them are important, but the most important one is attitude. Why? Okay.
It's a nice observation. She has a nice observation to share. So give her your attention, please.
If we number the alphabet from 1 to 26, and we want to give a number for each word, if we calculate,
that's okay. So like A becomes 1, B becomes 2, and so on. Z becomes
26. So if we add the numbers with the letters, which word we got 100 over 100?
So we're not here to boggle your minds. But she calculated the numbers. Attitude gives you 100. Okay? Which goes very well with what I was trying to say. I mean, I think this was a very nice thing you shared with me, because I did put attitude and desire as the base of the triangle. Skill is important. Skill is so important, but you could have a very good skill, but don't have the attitude, the right attitude to communicate, or don't have the desire. You could be someone who actually conducts communication workshop at your work, but you have a terrible time communicating with your wife or with your brother and sister at home. Why? Because you don't have the desire. You don't have the right attitude. So that's why I wanted to highlight this, and thank you for highlighting this again when you met me outside, is that the base of the triangle is there for a reason. I didn't put skill down there because skill could come, but the attitude and the desire must be there. Yeah, so there's 61, 63, and attitude is 100. I would have really liked this. This would have worked perfect if the desire also came up to 100, but that's okay. Okay? Obstacle to communication. Oh, before we get there, so we talked about the triangle, and then we said, do you remember the three principles of communication? Number one, one cannot not behave. One cannot not behave, and therefore, one cannot not communicate. And the third one is the impact of your behavior. Is it in the intentions or in the actual behavior? It's in the actual behavior. You could have had very good intentions, but the other person was impacted by your behavior, not by your intention. And I said, it's really humbling.
it is really a sign of humility for the person to sit back and say, okay, I don't need to argue this. I understand I had good intentions, but you saw it differently, and I respect that. Now is my chance to clear this up. But I'm not going to spend the time arguing, well, that's not what I meant. Well, great. A husband comes in and says, what's for dinner? And the wife says, well, don't you see that I'm so busy here? I mean, take it easy on me. Why are you so negative? Well, hold on. You're the one who started it with a bad tone of voice and said, what's for dinner? But I didn't intend anything, Abuna. I didn't intend anything. Abuna says, although I'm in black, you're not in court. Okay? So just sit back, relax. What were your intentions? Well, it was a bad day for me, and I really did not intend, but I can understand that the way I spoke and the way I asked the question could have that impact on another human being. And I said this is important for us to realize. What else did we say about communication? So we can move on. Huh? Verbal and nonverbal, digital and the analog. And we said something is so important about the analog, the tone of voice and was it 93? I think it was like 55 plus something, yeah. 7%. Yeah, 93, correct. 7% was digital. The rest was 93% between tone and between
body language.
Body language, nonverbal. And do you recall that example I gave you about the garbage is piling up?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This is all about context. That's right. Where and when you say whatever you're going to say is going to have a meaning based on where you're saying it. So no wonder people can quote someone out of context and come up with a whole different communication that was never even, not just intended, but was never really communicated when the person said that. And there was another thing about communication that gets people going. Communication is about doing what to the other relative to you. It's definition. You define the other relative to you or in relationship to you, and then the other has the option of liking that or not liking that. And we said this is usually one of the major causes of conflict. Let's talk about obstacle to communicate. So the first thing I want to mention to you is two types of systems. And think of yourself as falling into one of those two systems. Or maybe your family falls under one of those two systems. One is called entropic system, comes from the word entropy. And entropy means chaos. And negentropy, also known as negative entropy, which is the opposite of chaos, which means organization. There are people or family systems, when they hear something, they're just all over the place with it. And they create chaos out of the communication that was said. And there are others, when they do receive a communication that is a little bit chaotic, what do? They organize it. So just keep that in mind as one of the things that can affect, can become an obstacle or a facilitator of communication. What do we have here? We have a sender, okay, right here. He has, or she, well, I'm going to say here, he in this case, he has an idea in his head. They're internal noises, family stuff, the way the person was brought up, his own filters, his own ideas, his style of communication, his way of thinking, and so on. He begins to encode his communication, and then he speaks it. The message gets transmitted in that empty space. Here is internal noise. Here is external noise. So if I speak to you and there is music happening, like it's loud music behind us, that's external noise. If I'm talking to you, but my mind is in the problem I have at work, that's internal noise. So there is internal noise affecting the communication. There is encoding happening. I'm putting it in words. That's called encoding. And there are external noise, such as loud noise or some sort of outside distractions. And then there is the receiver. She's right there. She receives the message. She has internal noises as well. She decodes it. She perceives the message. So you can already tell that there are places here where things can go wrong, either internally, externally, or on the receiver end. Communication is not just about you sending a message. It's about you sending a message and making sure that the receiver heard it. Just remember that, because tomorrow we'll do some exercises, we'll do some skill training. How do you really listen? And how do you really make sure the other person heard you? And I could just tell you briefly, and tomorrow we'll talk about it. There is something called paraphrasing. So you say something, you say, you know, I'm really angry today because work was really tough, and I just came in and, I remembered all this and it kind of upset me. You heard me say that. You say, oh, so if you want to listen, you'd paraphrase that. You say, oh, so what I hear you say is that you're really angry right now because work today wasn't very good, and that as soon as you came in, something brought this to your attention. Is that correct? And then the person will say something like, no, that's not what I wanted to say. Or, yeah, that's exactly how it is. So that's the piece here on the receiver end. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the internal, the things that happen inside of us that could be obstacles to communication. You have here this person here with the physiology, their state of mind, just internal stuff happening. And then there's this unconscious and conscious things happening. And there are filters, values, beliefs, decisions, memories, things that affect the message as it comes in. So the first thing, the problem of filters. Those are internal things. What's your experience? Have you ever noticed that what you're trying to say to another person is sometimes very different from what he or she hears? Have you had that? Yes. So filters. I want to bring up Will and Tanya. Probably you haven't met them before. So Will, please come up. And Tanya? Where's Tanya? Hi, Will. Will and Tanya are going to present a scenario that shows filters. Filters are internal things, things that are happening that are not seen, that only take place internally, inside Will and inside Tanya. And you're going to see how this affects communication. As they're interacting, I'm going to comment. I'm going to freeze them. I'm going to comment. Okay. Use the other one, please. So this is the problem of filters, Will and Tanya. Will, thinking he'd like to go out to dinner with Tanya. As she comes in the door, he says,
so Tanya, what do you think we should do for dinner tonight?
Why it is always my job to make dinner for you?
Freeze. What do you think is gone? What filter is playing a role in Tanya's mind that led her to answer this way? Did you hear her answer? Can you answer again, Tanya?
Why is it always my job to make dinner for you?
What's the filter? Put your hand up so I know you want to say something. Is that, would you expect Will, who's coming in saying, you know, he's thinking he'd like to go out to dinner with Tanya, and she comes in the door, he says, what should we do for dinner tonight? What would be a response that you would expect from Tanya? Normal response would be what? Huh?
I don't know.
I can't hear you.
So
what do you want to do? Okay, what's on your mind? But instead, Tanya says something different. Tanya, again?
Why is it always my job to make dinner for you?
What's the filter? What is she hearing from Will that led her to think this way, or to respond in this way?
Mm-hmm. She's hearing it more as a demand versus a request or
a suggestion. Right. Now, he said, what should we do for dinner tonight? She probably heard it, when will dinner be ready? And it's up to me. Okay, unfreeze.
It's not always your job to make dinner. I made dinner once last week.
Making hamburger and bringing some French fries, that's making dinner?
Freeze. Will is not immune to filters either, right? So Will says, Tanya says, why is it always my job to make dinner? Will says,
it's not always your job to make dinner. I made dinner once last week.
Okay, what did he hear that led him to say that? You never do anything. If you have something, say it loud, please. Put your hand up and say it loud. What's happening there? What did you say? Back there? How did he hear her response? When she said to him, why is it always my job to make dinner? Attacking. That's right. Now she started hearing Will attacking and thinking. Will is thinking, I want to go out with this lady. Do I really want to go out with this lady? Why is she so? What are you saying? Nasty. Why is she so nasty? Why is she so nasty? Why is she so negative? All I wanted to do was go out to dinner. Okay. And she says, bringing home hamburgers.
Should I say it?
Yep. Go ahead, Tanya, go ahead, unfreeze.
Okay, bringing home hamburger and French fries is not making dinner.
You know what? Just forget it. I didn't want to go out with you anyway.
Okay. It's not done yet. You made a mistake. So Will says, just forget it. And what did he say after? Yeah, I didn't want to go out with you anyway. Who can predict what Tanya's going to say now? Okay, Tanya.
Okay, he didn't say anything about going out.
So Tanya now is confused. When did he say anything about going out? Okay, Will?
I did ask you if you wanted to go out to dinner, and then you got nasty.
No, you didn't.
I did too.
So you are saying I'm wrong, and you're always right?
Tanya, please, enough with the sarcasm. You only hear what you want to hear.
Ah. Okay, just stay here for a second. Okay.
Where's the hamburger that I brought?
The scenario of Will. Take the microphone. Okay. So Will and Tanya did a great job. Thank you for so much. Thank you. Yes. This goes to show that Will came in with the intentions of taking her out. He goes, what should we do for dinner tonight? But she had a filter, something that filtered out the we part. And she only heard you. And that happens in conversation. And this is something eternal. And then she says, why is it always my job to make dinner? And then he has a filter that hears an attack. And then the conversation goes downhill from there. Then he goes, well, I didn't want to go out with you. So, well, out? When do you say anything about going out? And this is where people get into memory games. Oh, I said that. Nope, did not happen. Say, well, it did. You always, you know, because my grandmother had Alzheimer's. You know, you're playing on my, huh? Is that what's happening? Huh? And it gets complicated. Filters. What do filters do? They actually affect the memory. Filters take out things. We're going to talk about selective hearing in a minute. Okay? But that's, selective hearing is just taking that a notch further. Okay? You got the filter part? Good. Let's move on. Because we have other nice skits as well. So, we all have mainly five types of filters. So those five type of filters are the ones I want to talk to you about. And they're all packed into our heads. And they are, in order, inattention, emotional status or states, beliefs and expectations, differences in style, and self-protection. Let me talk about each one. The first filter is inattention. So whether or not you each have each other's full attention is very important. If you talk to somebody and the other person isn't looking at you, there is no eye contact, and there could be eye contact. Men are very good at that. They can give you the eye contact, but the mind is not in contact whatsoever. Have you seen this YouTube? Have you seen the YouTube, the women's brain? Women's brain and, yeah, it's so funny. Women's brain and men's brain. It's really interesting. There's something called the nothing box, right? Yeah, you've heard of that? Yeah, and that's a good place for men to be sometimes. Yeah? It's just good to be there for a little bit.
A little bit,
yes. Well, it's just a little differs. It's relative. So, giving someone your attention is very important. It conveys care and it conveys that your interest in what they're saying. And with that comes meaning. I guess one of the most important meaning, if you don't give your attention to another, is I'm not really important to that person. I'm not significant. You think that conflicts happen because of superficial stuff? Conflicts happen when superficial stuff have very deep meanings. But no one speaks about the deep meanings. Says, I don't really know why she got upset when I was not paying attention to her. Well, because not paying attention to her kind of made her feel insignificant and devalued. Devalued? Insignificant? Well, how do we go from here to there? Well, people go from here to there. Although it seems superficial, communication is always about meaning. And if you're a good communicator, you'll always ask, so what does this mean? What does this mean to you? Because it could mean something to you that means differently to me. So affected by, inattention can be affected by internal and external factors. So internal factors such as, external factors, noisy kids, hearing problem, a bad phone line, those are examples of external. Feeling tired, mind occupied with something else, feeling bored, mentally forming a rebuttal, and all that. These are internal factors. Filter number two. So the first filter was inattention. You're paying attention. Second filter, emotional states. So emotional states, we'll call upon Steve and Melissa to come up here. We did change the real names of people, so that...
That looks like Steve, right?
Yeah, that looks like Steve. Steve from Cleveland, yes. Yeah, Steve. So, studies show that we tend to give people more... This is so, so important. We tend to give people more benefit of the doubt when we are in a good mood and less the benefit of the doubt when we are in a bad mood. So your mood does affect the way you give or don't give slack to people. Why? Yes?
Well, I mean, without context. I mean, if you're in a bad mood generally, I don't know, you feel like the world is unfair and you tend to be less empathetic towards others.
Mm-hmm. Or, and I add to this, the conversation, when you're in a bad mood, becomes kind of your outlet. And you say, well, I got it out on the kids. Well, that's why we have Children's Aid Society, to take care of that part, right? You project it, right? But when you get it out onto an equal partner, interpersonal complications, interpersonal relationships get really complicated there. That's a good point. Scenario here, Steve and Melissa, they're going to present to us emotional states. So one good defense, I'll show you the wrong way of handling it, or the what could happen if we're not in a best emotional state, and then how we can correct that. So first.
Hey, Melissa, I was looking at the mail. It looks like we missed paying our phone bill. Happened again. I think we should pay it as soon as possible.
I'm not the one who missed it. Can't you see my hands are full right now? Can't you? You're the one who's supposed to pay it. Do something helpful.
Are you saying I'm not helpful? I've been working for 12 hours. I've been driving on all this traffic for about 2 hours, and actually I'm getting home now. I mean, I'm tired.
Are you kidding me? I worked all day. I went and picked up the kids. I did laundry, and I'm now cooking dinner. So don't tell me you're tired.
That's your job. That's your job to do.
Excuse me?
Yes, it's a woman's job.
You think that doesn't happen? Oh, that happens. Oh, that's your job to do. Yeah, madame. Huh? That happens all the time. We hear that all the time.
Oh, really? Okay, so who said so? If you think so, I'm not going to do dinner. Show me what you're going to do about it.
Well,
and this can go on and on and on. Steve, are you done? Yeah. So this can go on and on, right? Like this can get really nasty, because they begin to take on an attack. They attack. They become very defensive, and part of defending, depending on their personalities, she could have just gotten very hard on herself or started to cry, or he could have withdrawn and stopped talking, or if they're both the expressive type, then they'll just keep going and on, which we've had here, Steve and Melissa. So one good defense against filters, you can tell the filters because we showed you the first part. One good defense against filter is to acknowledge the filter when you see one. And then you act and operate based on that. So it's dinner time. The kids are hungry and complaining. Steve just got home and is reading the mail. Melissa's cooking macaroni in the kitchen. Here's a different way of dealing with this.
Hey, Melissa, I was looking at the mail, and it looks like we missed our phone bill for this month again. I think we should pay it as soon as possible.
I'm not the one who forgot it. Can't you see my hands are full right now? Can't you do something helpful?
So far, it's the same.
I'm sorry, it looks like you have a hard day. It was a tough day, right?
I'm sorry, I'm a little frustrated. I had a really hard day at work, and I'm up to here now. So I'm not trying to back it. Nothing you did. I'm just really tired and frustrated.
It's okay. I think we should talk about it after dinner.
Oh, that would be nice. Thank you.
I'm really hungry.
That's where it spins out again. So,
I know.
Yeah. So listen to this. You give them a big hand. Thank you. Done a great job. Thank you. What happened here is that Steve said the same thing, was perceived the same way by Melissa, who's come back from work, and she's in a bad mood to start with. That's the key point. Her emotional status or state is a bad mood. She's in a bad mood. So she took his words and she filtered them out as, you're asking me to do more. I'm like fed up with unfairness at work and now here at home. He notices this is unusual, or he notices there is an amplified reaction. And this is key when we talk about the, you know, how to better communicate, is to be able to catch when someone's reaction is amplified, because that tells you something got triggered. So he was good the second time, and he kind of stopped, or should have stopped a little bit, and he did. He said, I'm sorry. I should have seen you were busy. Rough day. He opens up the conversation. He says, well, this is not usually you around me. There must be something strange. Rough day. And as soon as he opens that up, She says, yes, I had a very frustrating day. I didn't mean anything against you. And then he goes, you know what? Well, let's eat and then we can talk about this right after. And she said, thanks. So one way of catching on this emotional status or state is to call the filter when you see it and call it with kindness. Any questions on Steve and Melissa? You all good? Okay, so Steve had the good sense to see that he had raised an issue at the wrong time. We sometimes don't agree. I mean, it's always the right time to say whatever I want to say. No, that could be a wrong time. We have to be humble again, humble enough to realize that was a wrong time. He decided not to get defensive. He chose to become gentle. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Melissa responded by acknowledging the filter. She says, yes, rough day. The third filter, beliefs and expectation. Here we have Al and Heidi. So, arise from what you think and expect from your relationship. I say arise from it, because we enter in relationships, normally, we have expectations, right? We have expectations, we have certain beliefs, but we think that those expectations and beliefs are untouchable. That's it. That's the way it's always happened in my family. That's the way it will always happen in my current family. And those beliefs and expectations do create trouble. Research shows that we tend to see what we expect to see in others. We tend to see what we already expect to see from others. Studies show that our expectations can influence the behavior of others. That was an interesting finding. If I expect you to behave in a bad way, you are more likely to actually behave around me in a bad way. That's so interesting. That is so interesting. Imagine an intimate relationship. It's really a very close system. So that really becomes very possible. For example, if you believe this girl doesn't want to talk to you, she may well sound reserved and short when talking with you, even if she wasn't. Let's look at Al and Heidi. Should I step away or, yeah?
So Heidi, we have some free time tonight. Maybe we should do something.
Oh, I don't know. What were you thinking?
Freeze. I need to let you in on something. Al and Heidi were having problems deciding what to do for fun. When they had free time, they rarely go out together. They're so, so busy with kids and things here and things there. And they were both very frustrated that they haven't spent any quality time together. So, freeze?
I'm frozen.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, so she added to this. So listen to this typical conversation again between them and note how each of them acted as if they could read the other's mind reading. Al really wanting to go bowling. So I'm letting you in on what's happening in his mind. He really wants to go out bowling. Now they have a free time. He really longs to be with Heidi. And this is his opportunity, and probably hers too, because they're so frustrated they haven't spent time together. However, he thinks, here is the belief and expectation, he thinks that Heidi may not be interested in going out and doing anything fun together. He says to her, we have some free time tonight, I wonder if we should try to do something. Now you heard Heidi answer. Heidi, what did you say?
I said, oh, I don't know, what do you think?
Why do you think Heidi answered this way? Tell me about her filter. Testing him.
Low expectations.
She also has some low expectations. She's thinking she'd like to go out, but she begins to hear the tentativeness in Al's voice when he said earlier, we have some free time today. I wonder. If we should try to do something. She says, I don't think he wants to go out. We haven't been going out for a very long time. I don't think he wants to go out. Instead of saying, yeah, that would be a great idea, she goes with the tentativeness and says, oh, I don't know. What do you think? Al?
We can go bowling, but I know it's league night, so we might not be getting in anyway. So maybe we can just stay in and watch TV.
Heidi, before she says whatever she's going to say, what do you think now is happening in her mind?
She sure doesn't want to take me out.
Yeah, I caught Al. Now I was right. That's what he really wants to do. He just wants to stay home. Heidi?
That sounds good to me. Why don't we make some popcorn and watch some tube?
Do you think, what do you think Al's mood is right now? What do you think Al's mood is, his mood? Huh? He's disappointed. You're right. That's exactly what it is. Thinking, I knew it. She really doesn't like to get out and do things that are fun. He answers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay. What happened here is filter number three. Al expects and believes that Heidi is really not the going out type. And they have been really going out anyways. So it's not like he's thinking, you know, completely, you know, far-fetched ideas. He actually knows his wife doesn't go out. They haven't been going out for a while. So then that filters things. She thinks the same way about him. That filters things out, and they end up sitting home watching the tube. And both of them very disappointed. Thank you very much. Put your hands together. As you probably noticed, in Al and Heidi's conversation, there was no escalation. There was no loud voice, no nervousness. I mean, they were nervous in an obvious way. There were no invalidation or withdrawal. They actually talked. They're actually going to sit down and watch a movie together. Nevertheless, they did not communicate well because they both did something called mind reading, and they were wrong at it. When someone expects you to read their mind, tell them, I haven't reached that spiritual level yet. Okay? You gotta tell me. Don't expect me to know. Okay? You've got to put things in words. Okay, filter number four, differences in style. So everyone has a different style. STY, style of communicating. Different styles can lead to filtering, so that you may have a different way of communicating to another person. Some are more expressive, others are more reserved. Some people come from closed system families, others come from open system family. And this happens a lot, especially if you hear this, when a wife comes from an open system family where everything is known to her mom and to her dad and to her sister and to everyone, and the husband comes from a closed system where, this is private. And then they come in, and everything he talks about at home, he later on discovers his mother-in-law knows about it. And she knows everything, every detail of life. Different systems. It's not that the wife meant to be rude to her husband or she meant to upset him. It's just they come from different systems. Styles are determined by personality, by culture. Some culture are more expressive than others, by gender, upbringing, the family of origin, and so on. So, Sue and Tom. This is Tom, by the way. This is Tom, yes, and this is Sue. Just let me give you an intro before they begin. This is our last, I think this is our last scenario, yes. Sue and Tom came from different families. Tom's family was very expressive and intense about all manner of emotion. When Tom and his family speak, they speak with a lot of feelings. Sue's family was more reserved. As a result, this happens.
Another day in paradise. Went to the office, you won't believe what happened. Sitting at my desk, surfing on Facebook, and look what happened to my hands. And then my boss comes in and he's complaining, and I'm like, hey buddy, Facebook doesn't update itself. This stuff takes time.
Well, hi.
Are we having dinner? Dinner would really be good.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
I know I just had molokhiya and kosheri, but okay, dinner would really be good right about now.
Just a second. Well, honey, I'm sorry you had a
sorry, really but you're not hearing me. Dinner would really be good right about now.
I'll just be right back. Let me just get this.
Did I tell you it was a rough day in the office? You won't believe what happened to me today. So look at this. How am I going to use my right hand? How am I expected to do my job with my right hand? I can't do this.
Let me get you some salad.
Salad? Just put, this physique does not survive on salad.
I'm so upset. I'll just get you. Oh, let me get you soup.
Feta.
Let me get you soup.
I need feta. Dinner. Feta.
Sorry, you had a bad
day. Why
is
he never listen to me? I'm trying to get my point across.
I know.
Freeze.
I feel.
What's happening? She's overwhelmed. What else is happening? Yes. He's not giving her a chance to talk. He's talking at her, not with her. Selfish. Oops. Self-centered.
We'll just continue it? Okay. Oh. Yeah.
So, where you express how you felt?
And my frustration. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Part two.
Continue. Make it this. Huh? What? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm going to get you the.
Now he speaks softly.
Okay.
Like
so
I said, dinner would really be good.
Soup.
My hand is hurting. I need to heal. I need nutrition.
Do you want beef? I'm not sure.
I just said
sure.
Feta would really be good. Why aren't you listening
to me?
What about my feelings?
I'm trying. I'm just.
Don't cry, Sue. You know I love you. I'm the sensitive type. Isn't that why you married me?
I'm just so sad. You seem so angry.
What about my feelings? You know I love you. You know I care about you.
But why are you so angry?
Isn't it showing?
I'm confused. You seem angry.
Look what happened to my hand. I'm still hungry, by the way. I haven't eaten.
Let me just get the soup.
Okay, good. So on this part here, it shows that for her to hear him speak this way, when she compares that with the background of her family, disaster is happening. Yeah. Like a big thing is really happening here, and she can't keep up. She's trying, she can't keep up. But then the second part is interesting, where she begins or she tries to express her feelings, but she says them in a very soft way. And he thinks, soft doesn't work with my family. That's probably something simple. I need to eat. That's more important. Because whatever you're expressing, since you're not expressing it, then it must be small, tiny. Okay, thank you guys. Wonderful. This is 100% improv, by the way, so pretty good. Well done.
We rehearsed zero times. Isn't that a surprise?
Zero.
It just comes natural. Okay, filter number five. So far we said filter number one was in attention. Filter number two, set emotional states. Filter number three, expectation and beliefs. Number four?
Different styles.
Number five, self-protection. And this one is quite important because an obstacle to communication is when you want to protect yourself and so you say, it's better that I don't say a thing. And things like, I'm too shy to say anything. Well, so what is shyness doing to you? It's protecting you. Protecting you from what? From embarrassment, maybe, well, and from being denied, whatever, and so on and so forth. So self-protection, this is quite a big obstacle, especially in intimate relationship. This stems from fear of rejection, common to all with different degrees. So we all have some level of self-protection. But it comes at different degrees. Some are more than others. What we really want or feel does not get said out of fear of rejection. And one of the things we measure in premarital counseling is the level of avoidance between the couple. We want to know whether this couple has a high level of avoidance or a low level of avoidance. Because if you have a high level of avoidance, and this usually happens at the beginning of marriage and kind of stops after a while. At the beginning, she doesn't want to upset him, so she keeps things in. He doesn't want to really upset her because they're all being basically, they're all surviving on the infatuation dose. Amba Yusuf today, you know, one of his lecture was Chemistry of Loving. He said you can go and look at his website. He actually talks about this type of chemical that makes you on cloud nine. So, but what ends up happening is this accumulation cannot go on for a very long time, cannot go on for a long time. And after a while, you can't do it anymore. So it comes out, but it comes out in outbursts. What is different between the two sentences below? You tell me. This first sentence, wouldn't you like to go see that new movie with me? Versus, I'd like to see that new movie. Want to go? What's the difference between the two? What's that?
With you versus with or without you.
Okay, yes. So what does the which one would you recommend a person would use? First one. Okay, second one. The first one is really not you expressing what you want. It's putting it on somebody else. You really want to go see the movies. It's not that you don't want. You're the one who put the sentence out. You're the one who said it. But you don't want to come out straight and say, I'd like to go see a movie. Would you want to come? Versus, wouldn't you really want to go to the movies? What do you think? Well, why don't you come out straight and say, I would like, I here is not a sinful I. Okay? I would like to go see a movie. Would you want to tag along? Here is assertiveness. A lot of people do the first one because they want to put things tentatively so that they're never really let down. Well, the assertiveness is important. This self-protection cannot go on for long. Because wouldn't you want to go to see the movies, this new movie that is out there with me? Wouldn't you want to go? And let's say the wife says, I'm so tired today. What do you think the husband is thinking now? Well, she doesn't want to go out with me. She doesn't really think about what I want or not want. What a bored person, and so on and so forth. Whereas she comes out and says, I would like to go see that movie. Do you want to come? Well, I don't feel like I want to go. Okay, that's no problem. See you tomorrow. Okay? Now she said it. I want to go. This is just an example. But to come out straight and say, I would like to do this. And you can find this happening at work or even in service where you sit down and say, okay, which service do you want to take? Which work, which job do you want to do? Do you want to do this or that? And you're dying to do this. But then the person says, okay, I'm going to do this. Well, why didn't you from the beginning say, you know, what's your choice? If it's up to me, I really would like to do that. So you come out straight and be assertive.
Actually, the first statement is being kind of manipulative. Like you're telling the person
could be.
What you would like for them.
Exactly. And so when they don't, that becomes even worse for them. Yeah.
Could they add to the second? Or
you could.
Whoever adds to the second statement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's adding the point of like, I'd like to go to the movie, but I don't want to go.
Adding the statement of, I'd like to go to the movie with you. Would you please join me? That way it would encourage her and create excitement.
Yes,
for the girl to say, oh, well, that's very nice. I would love to go to a movie with you.
At
so
the same
just creating
time,
that emotion and asking her at the same time.
Correct. But at the same time, you are stating what you would like to do, which is
yes,
very good.
Yeah. I just didn't know if that was okay or
absolutely.
If that was getting to.
Double bind. I want to speak about double bind. Have you heard of double bind before? Double bind. Double bind was a mode of communication that was observed to be quite typical in families where people have a schizophrenic. So it's not there's no causation here, but it's just an observation. They found that statistically a significant number of schizophrenic come from families where one typical mode of communication was double bind. So what I'm trying to tell you, double bind is crazy making. It's crazy making. It makes people lose their mind. unless you catch it. When there are two aspects of a communication that are contradictory in nature, and a person cannot comment on the contradiction or cannot leave the relationship. So I'll give you an example. Example, a wife says to her husband, I want you to do something spontaneous. He said, okay, spontaneous. If I do it now, it's not spontaneous. And if I don't do it, I'm not doing. I'm losing both ways. Or, this is, so what's another one? Do you have another example? I want you to help me, not because I asked you to help me. Huh? Well, if I help you, it's because you asked me. And if I don't help you, you're going to say, well, I just did, but you didn't help me. This is crazy making because both ways, you end up losing. Okay? Daughter comes up to her mom or dad and says, Mom, I'm so sorry for what I've done. And mom puts her hand around her, hugs her in a very cold way and said, it's okay, I love you. What are the two messages? I know mom is cold. I know she's really punishing me, but she's saying, I love you. This is crazy making. So, wife says to her husband, help me out in the kitchen because you want to help me and not because I just asked you to help me out. So here is a contradiction between the digital and the digital. Husband says to wife, it's okay if you have to go out with your friends tonight. I guess I will have to sit here alone all by myself. Yeah, double binding is emotional blackmail. Sure, so let's skip today, we'll try tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, well.
But I can't do it now. If I do it now, you just asked me.
Yeah, do it now.
Oh, that's a different story. So that's a different story. But the husband could be very smart, and or the wife, depending on who, and says, oh, that's such a great idea, I like that. Okay, very well, I'll keep that in mind. The wife is obviously making that statement because she needs help now. Huh? This one here, you know, it's okay if you have to go out. I guess it's okay. I'll just stay home all by myself. Here, the contradiction is between the digital and the analog. Wife asks husband, what's wrong? Husband replies, nothing, I'm fine. Nothing, I'm fine, but he's saying it in such a way that means nothing is fine ever around here. Okay? How do you break the double bind? You call it. You say, hold on. Now, if I help you now, I'm wrong because you just asked me. And if I don't help you, I'm still wrong. That's not fair. You call it out. Or you say, so you want me to help you? You want me to be more spontaneous? I'll try. Okay? I will try. But I can't really do anything right now because it's just I'm going to end up losing anyways. The girl who got hugged in a cold way and says, I love you, said, Mom, you're saying I love you, but it doesn't feel like you do. That's calling it out. Okay? Humor. That's another form of double bind. And Egyptians are good at that one. Oh, they're so good at that one. The words are said in one way, but the humor around the words says something completely different. You say something hurtful, but then you claim it was just a joke. Come on, it was just a joke. And sarcasm falls under that. And so the person, you cannot catch the person until you say, joke or no joke, I really do not appreciate when you say that. Please don't do that again. You call it. And you do it in a calm way, very assertive. And you say it. Issues, no, it's not fun, but it's necessary. Oh, yeah, yeah. Issues of communication, few things. Does your face reflect your heart? Are you really a cat or a lion? You know, does your face reflect your heart? Very important. So when people deal with you, do they see a very nice person who just had breakfast with them the other day, and today you're saying all these bad things about them? Well, we just were fine the other day. What's happening? Your face does not show what's in your heart. That's another obstacle of communication. No room for misinterpretation, but talk and clarify. And we talked about the negative feedback loop, if you remember, but that loop can also be positive. So if you do a positive action that is interpreted in a positive way that leads the other person to do something positive that you can interpret in a positive way, do something positive, and so on. So the loop can also go on in a positive way. Is the person assertive enough to communicate how he or she feels and is open enough to hear the other? So here we talk about assertiveness and openness. One of the obstacles of communication is triangulation. People, when they are in a couple situation where two people are together, there is some sort of anxiety level that builds up. Okay? You remember that old cartoon of the husband, is written 10 years later, or 3 years later, 2 years later, sitting, the wife is at the kitchen doing something, and he's reading the newspaper. These are all triangulations. Instead of really talking about each other, you go to a restaurant, and I mentioned this last year, you go to a restaurant and you sit, and just observe how many couples are sitting, each using their phone. It's very anxiety producing to look at someone and say, I miss you today, or, you know, I'm really glad to be with you today. And the other person say, yes, the same thing. You know, I've been longing to be with you. No, people don't say that stuff because it's too, you become vulnerable, you become therefore anxious. So instead, people triangulate by holding the menu, by answering a text. Well, you're out here with me. What are you doing? And triangulation happens whenever one wants to reduce anxiety. But it could be useful. However, sometimes it blocks communication. So here is the coach. After much thought and consideration, I've decided to remain as coach of the team in order to spend less time with my family. So this person is triangulating with work to reduce the anxiety with wife. Husband and wife, they get married. In-law says, get children. Why get children? Well, because experience says when you get children, you get occupied. Okay, children grow, children leave, they enter into something called the empty nest, midlife crisis. Now these people, they could have huge trouble in their marriage. And they never solved their anxiety, but they triangulated their efforts and their attention towards their kids or work or whatever. What is the style of communication? Some people are passive-aggressive, and assertive. And I think we're all familiar with these terms. These are ways and means of communication, solving problems, dealing with conflict, and they could become an obstacle, such as passive-aggressive or aggressive, or just being passive. We'll talk about that again tomorrow when we speak about solutions. As I mentioned earlier, avoid mind reading, expecting the other to know what you're not saying, or reading the mind of the other who is not saying anything. Say, I think you meant this. No, I didn't mean that. Well, you never said anything, but I think you meant it. Stop reading people's minds, or stop expecting people to know what you want without you saying it. So she should have known. Well, you should have said something too. Avoid sarcasm, learning to resolve conflict in a healthy way. We'll talk about a conflict resolution tomorrow. We'll do a nice exercise on that tomorrow. So here are other obstacles, such as selective perception. You only hear what you want to hear. And everything else, you drop out of the conversation. That's called selective perception. That could be an obstacle. Information overload. When, you know, it says that women have 50,000 words to speak per day, and men have 25,000 words to speak per day. Both of them finish 25,000 words at work. The ladies come home, they still have another 25,000 words, but men, they're done. Okay? This is an interesting finding, but not to say that there are no exceptions to the rule. But then, someone who's saturated, doesn't want to hear anything, and then the other person is still communicating or trying to communicate, that's an information overload. There's an exercise, if we get a chance, we'll do it tomorrow, where a person tells a story to person A, tells a story to person B, and person B is asked to act out whatever he's hearing. And person B usually reports, I cannot keep up because it's information overload. Language as well. Language is tricky because different words mean different things, especially if you come from different cultures. Even within the Coptic community, those raised in North America, they have a different language system than those who are coming from Egypt. We do have different differences where some words, and we see that from parent to child, where a child would say something and the parents say, that's very disrespectful, when the child says, I didn't mean anything. Finally, before I conclude, communication barriers between men and women. So here is gender differences. So men talk to emphasize status, power, and independence. We're talking generally speaking here. Whereas women talk to establish connection and intimacy. Men talk to complain that women talk on and on. And women talk to criticize men for not listening. Men talk to offer solutions. Women talk to speak of problems to promote closeness. Men are quick to solve. Women want to just keep talking a little bit to share, to get closer. Men talk to boast about their accomplishments. Women talk to express regret and restore balance to conversations. So right there, you could see there are obstacles and barriers, even because of the differences in gender. And being aware of that is important. Being aware of that is important. So in conclusion, we talked about entropic versus negentropic systems. What are entropic systems? Chaos. Negatropic is the opposite. We talked about filters. We said inattention to emotional states. Three, beliefs and expectations. Four, different styles. Five, self-protection. We talked about double bind, crazy making, confusion, frustrations, humor and sarcasm as part of it. We talked about assertiveness, avoidance, domination. We talked about triangulation, where it could be helpful at times, but could be an obstacle. And then we spoke about language overload of information, selective perception, gender differences as other examples of obstacles. Any comments or questions?
I understand the example that you use with triangulation as far as, you know, being on the cell phone and dividing your attention. But how do you differentiate between, because you need to have some hobbies, some creative outlets outside of the relationship too, to maintain some kind of a balance. You can't completely lose your identity in the relationship. So how do you differentiate between triangulating versus?
Simply answered. Ask, what is the purpose? What is the purpose, i.e. the motive? What is the purpose behind me doing this hobby? Is it because I'm running away from something at home? Or is it because it's something that I'd like, that it's enriching me and nourishing me? If it's because you're avoiding something at home, that is a form of triangulation.
What if it's tabling it for a more appropriate time?
I didn't hear that, sorry.
What if it's, you're not avoiding something, but you're tabling something for another time. So maybe I need to go off and do this for a while.
So say that. You
have so
to
in
say
a more
that.
Sober minded or in a better frame of mind, you know, so, we can discuss yeah. or.
So here you communicate with this, your significant other, and say, you know what? I think if we get into that conversation right now, I'm in a bad mood, I think. And I think this is important to talk about. Would you be then okay if, I just go out, do this, and I'll be back and I'll open the conversation again? So you express yourself. You say why you're taking this time out. It's a time out. It's not a triangulation. It is a time out because you want to be in a better state of mind.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.